Welcome to Definitely Something About Football.
I'm Jay Hump.
And this is Rob. Today we've got the captain behind the audio booth.
I am the sound guy.
And you might notice a little lag between me and Rob today because we are doing this remotely.
Yes, had a little delivered. That's what caused us to have such a hiatus here for a little bit. But
So we've tried this before, and it didn't go so well. We used, like, Hangouts. So now we're trying some fancy equipment here. So we'll see how this goes.
You may recognize the captain from our first podcast of the year, but we did the fantasy breakdown of the Game Changers draft. How's your team going, Captain?
Going great.
Yeah, how was last week?
It was terrible. The team's good. But I had my best player on the bench and my worst player on the starting team. So,
Yeah, that happens. You went up against me. Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah.
But I still have the second most points fielded, and I have most of my team is in the top 10 at their position. So I'm feeling overly confident.
I do love the Patrick Mahomes start over Aaron Rodgers. That was fantastic. I was like, what is this guy doing? But I see what you did. That was solid.
I like it too.
Yeah, that was solid. That was high coaching. That was some high coaching IQ.
Yeah, anybody against the Vikings or the Jags this year, I'd say start. Doesn't matter if it's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that didn't work out for you, huh, yeah. Rob?
Oh, no, it didn't. I invested way too high in the Patriots this draft, so if they do bad, my whole fantasy team does bad.
Well, you're fortunate they don't have to play the Jags again.
So. Not until January. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Jags, we're going to hop into the AFC this podcast. We're talking about the AFC East and North, neither of which contain the Jags. But you know who they do contain is... the Steelers, who have Antonio Brown, which is your lowest scoring player of the week, Jay Hunt.
Yeah, Antonio Brown has not been great so far. Definitely not been worth that number one overall draft pick. Been pretty disappointing, to say the least. I definitely wish I would have drafted a running back. Michael Thomas. That would have been nice.
And now Antonio Brown, he did not report to practice on Monday. They had Tuesday off.
Taking the old Le'Veon Bell approach,
He's down in Florida on the jet skis.
He just needed. He's just taking the vet vacation. That's just what always happens, though. He's fine. He'll be back
after week two.
No. They take their day off like on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. They usually don't show up for practice. So it's no big deal.
No, so, you want to?
Should we run down the AFC North first? This is what we're going to do. We're going to start with Pittsburgh.
Let's hop right into the AFC North. Let's talk about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, all right. Well, we talked a little bit about Antonio Brown, but how about Le'Veon Bell?
Oh, man. Many people got burned.
Yeah, burned. I mean, even just missing 2 weeks almost drops them down to, like, late first round. So when you're talking maybe multiple or half a season, I mean, look how far Ezekiel Elliott dropped when he was just going to be suspended for, what, 6 games? Or was it 4 games? And he dropped, like, 2 rounds? Man, Le'Veon Bell, he would at least fell to the 3rd or 4th round.
The worst part about it is it's unpredictable. You don't know when he's coming back. You don't know if he's coming back.
Yeah, so you can't drop him.
Still has not.
I've already made a trade offer for him, though, and the guy that has him in our league is still confident.
I'm pretty sure everybody in our league has made a trade offer for him at this point. I'm just so glad I did not draft Le'Veon Bell in any of my leagues. I mean, I went into the season knowing he's a little bit of a wild card. You don't know if he's going to play at the beginning of the season. You don't know if he's going to own up to what he said in the offseason and hold out for the first 8 games of the season. If he did that, when he came back, he would automatically get a 2-game suspension. Meaning he won't be eligible to play until week 11. so at that point, you're probably eliminated from playoff contention in fantasy already.
And if you're not, though, you're solid for the playoffs. Fresh Le'Veon Bell for the playoffs, I'll take it.
You know, here's the worst thing, though. when he came, he did a little holdout last year. When he came back, he was not that good the first few weeks. He was not part of their game plan, and he had to, you know, get back up to speed. So you might be waiting until your championship for him to actually be performing. And at that point, are you really going to plug him in? I don't know. Like,
that's a good question.
Look at the guys that got you there.
Yep. Sucks. Sucks to be Le'Veon Bell owners.
It's really good for those people who either drafted James Conner or picked him up off the waiver wire. Everybody there instantly has been winning their weeks.
I feel like the people who did that were probably super lucky in the fact that, if you got Le'Veon Bell and then you also got him, it was probably only because you drafted that like week before the season started and you really, you know, saw this coming. But for the people, like, I think we drafted like early mid-August, so that wasn't even really on the radar. But yeah,
I mean, we knew Le'Veon wasn't reporting to camp.
You thought he would show up, but yeah. So.
Yeah, I think we all thought he would.
I mean, Julio hadn't even shown up for camp at that point. That was fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Had he not? He
was there for the first preseason game.
Yeah, he'd been there.
I mean, he was like, he didn't actually play in the game, but he was with the team at that point.
Juju Smith-Schuster?
Man, yeah, he's really picking up the slack from what Antonio Brown has been lacking in. And he was like their go-to target there in their comeback against Kansas City. I feel like he was getting like every single touch ever. I was like, what the heck? I need a touchdown for Antonio Brown.
Don't call it a comeback.
Well,
that implies that you won.
Nah, they tried.
Juju might be the most valuable player. Oh, no, I'm sorry, James Conner. James Conner is the most valuable player on the team right now. But far as who's been performing, still, you want Brown over Juju. None of the tight ends are really fantasy worthy at this point.
Yeah, Jesse James or whatever his name was, he had a pretty solid outing against Kansas City.
How about Ben Roethlisberger? I've seen him drop in several leagues lately, which surprises me because he's been slinging it out there.
Yeah, no, he threw a ton of interceptions in the Cleveland game, and then he really didn't come on strong in Kansas City game until like that last little effort they had in the second half, but I don't know. I feel like he's solid.
Yep.
But yeah, he's not. I mean, what are you going to get out of him? The Cleveland performance or this one? So, how much can you depend on that? I don't know.
He's against Tampa Bay this week, and I love that. You're going to get a shootout between Fitzmagic and Big Ben.
Yeah. Who would ever
thought that? I know we've already covered the NFC, but holy cow, the Buccaneers.
Yeah, we all expected super change from what we predicted, for sure.
We thought they were going to lose the first three games of the season, and here they are, the top of the division, and with a really good chance to beat the Steelers this week.
Yeah, I actually was picking some teams to check out, you know, where I thought everyone was, and I have them beating the Steelers this week. So
I do, too. Mostly because of the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, the Steelers' struggle's over. I mean, but Tampa Bay just beat the Eagles, and, you know, Eagles were pretty good.
Eagles barely beat Atlanta. I don't think the Eagles are as tough as we thought they were going to be this year. But, you know, they're getting Carson Wentz back this year. We're getting too far into the NFC. Let's come back.
Let's jump to the next team.
Baltimore Ravens. This is your boy Collins, Alex Collins.
Yeah, he's been pretty mediocre. All of the Ravens team has been mediocre. They had, like, a blowout against Buffalo, so, like, all the touches went to everybody, so it wasn't great. And then, like, the Bengals game was super strange.
Was it?
But, yeah, I feel like the Ravens are like they've always been, is where none of their players are super reliable, but they're decent, so you kind of have to play them as, like, that second-tier group of players. But I'm not a fan. I'm definitely not a fan of Flacco.
We did not come into the season thinking this guy would be a major player, but John Brown. It's mostly his touchdowns has got him there, but he's, you know, what is he averaging? He's 12.9 points a game as your wide receiver. two or three. You probably didn't even draft this guy.
No, probably not. But yeah, he's been pretty solid. Comparing to Michael Crabtree, who I'm sure was drafted in most leagues, and he's come out probably almost twice as many points, right?
Yes.
He's
yes,
got
he
two
has.
Touchdowns to one and 136 to 94.
Yeah, Crabtree's averaging 7.7 points a game, so close. So they've got Alex Collins, Javoris Allen, and Kenneth Dixon, who is now on the IR, so we don't really need
this
to. So
it definitely helps
him.
On Alex. Alex Collins with the Dixon injury, so I think Alex Collins
Allen.
Still has the better potential, but they're not.
You think over
reliable.
Buck Allen? You think Collins has more potential than Buck Allen the rest of the season?
Yes, for now.
Yeah. Yep. It looks like Allen is their goal line guy, so he's going to get you those touchdowns.
Maybe so, but we'll see how the year goes. I think the biggest knock on Collins right now is just the fumble.
Yeah. Let's roll into the Cincinnati Bengals, who look fantastic this year. Nobody thought they were going to look like this.
Good.
Yeah, the preseason or in the offseason, nobody expected much of this team. But man, that Thursday night football game against the Ravens last week, holy cow, they looked on fire. And I know they were at home. The crazy thing about the Bengals right now, though, is they're playing without Vontae Burfict on their defense. And their defense is playing pretty good, as is. I think it'll be very, very interesting once he comes back. Big blow to them, though. They just lost Joe Mixon for 2 weeks.
That.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty lucky. It's only two.
Yeah. You never know with these kind of surgeries. Will it be more or less? A.J. Green looks like
well,
a superstar
like I said,
out there.
I told you, he's my boy, man. I want to draft him in every league all the time. I don't know why, but he's always like my go-to receiver if I can ever get to that wide receiver point. But I just missed him. He got in that little gap, between your second and third round picks. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tyler Eifert. He's one of those Jordan Reed types players. If he's healthy, then he's that tight end you want to go get. However, he has not been targeted too much this year.
I'm not a big fan of their tight ends. I'm not a big fan of most of the tight ends in the league. There's probably like I think we went over this when we talked about the NFC. There's only like five tight ends that I really trust, and he's not one of them. He's always a name people bring up, but I feel like he's just as good as basically any other 4 or 5 point tight end. So. It's all about if you just get lucky and get a touchdown with somebody. And
Right.
Yeah.
What about Andy Dalton? How do you feel about him?
He's still
been rocking it.
He has been rocking it. He's been doing pretty well, but I just don't think you can hand the reins over to him yet, especially, there's a lot of people who have been rocking it right now. Patrick Mahomes, you still got Aaron Rodgers. Blake Bortles has been putting up numbers. Fitzpatrick, like all these names that just come out of nowhere that you can't ignore either. So
that's true.
It's been a quarterback league so far.
So listen to the Bengals' upcoming schedule here. They've got the Panthers this week, who have a depleted linebacker core. They're plugging in guys in the second and third string just to try to field a team right now. You've got Atlanta, who's got injuries all over their defense. The Dolphins, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, none of which have defenses that have really been performing. These are all teams that allow major blowout games. You get a bye, then you come back, and then you get a Baltimore here or there, a Broncos. But for the next 5-6 weeks here, all the Bengals players look very attractive to me for fantasy.
Oh, yeah, especially AJ Green's super high up there.
Mm-hmm. Trade now for Joe Mixon if you can. I've tried.
Yeah, good luck. But, I'm not a huge fan of Giovanni Bernard. I know that he's going to be a huge wire pickup this week. But, yeah.
He's
I just
not gonna
don't
win
trust
you the
him.
Week.
I would be like, oh, he's got a high projection. I might put him on my bench just so someone else doesn't get him. But he's not in my starting lineup, probably.
Well, the Panthers' weakness right now is running backs, the defense against running backs. So, He can make some magic.
Yeah, someone else can gamble. I'm not willing.
All right, or now able. the most hyped team of the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns.
They used to be a team I would literally never draft a player from, but now they're getting. You know what? I'm going to be honest. I actually have a waiver for a Browns player.
Josh Gordon?
No.
Because he is no longer a Browns player.
Actually, I don't have a waiver anymore. It went through, so I can say. It's for 11 of their players.
because they're against the Jets.
I have their whole defense. Yeah. So we're gonna see what the old Browns defense can do. They did pretty well versus the Saints, so it gives me hope.
So they do have a good defense. Like I like their defensive team. I don't think they're going to do well this week against the Jets, which sounds weird saying that the Jets are going to come in and destroy you. But
we'll see about that. But they remind me of Jacksonville a few years ago when they've been, you know, drafting first round picks over and over and over, and then they got some free agents, and then it all kind of came together last year. I think that's kind of working out for the Browns now.
Oh no! I'm not knocking them as a team in general, but this week they're on a short week. They're playing on Thursday Night Football, and I just noticed a trend: defenses on Thursday Night Football do not perform very well. I think they're just winded. You know, they have to work together as a team. Whereas if your running back is a little winded, you throw in another running back or you pass more. I think they're going to struggle, and I think the Jets are going to be scoring a lot of points on them.
All right, we'll see. I disagree.
let's see. How about Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod's been pretty good. I doubt anyone picked him up or is playing him, but he's been solid.
Isn't that so sad?
If you're in a really deep league, like, that's someone to look at.
It's weird because Tyrod Taylor and Russell Wilson kind of give you the same options as a quarterback. You know, they're both.
Oh, well, Russell Wilson's. Way better at it, though, just in general. But yeah, the same kind of threats, but...
Yeah. Right now, you know, Tyrod Taylor is outperforming Russell Wilson thus far this year.
Yeah, but still, like, I think right now Tyrod Taylor's probably having, like, really good games, unfortunately, for him, because they have been mediocre. And Russell Wilson's, like bottom tier right now, as far as, like, his potential. So you have to think eventually Russell Wilson's going to get back to, you know, what he's been doing, and then Tyrod Taylor's going to kind of, you know, go back to where he was. I don't think Tyrod Taylor is someone that you can be like start and feel comfortable with. If you're starting Tyrod Taylor, then something bad has happened to your lineup.
I'll give you a fire bet that Tyrod Taylor outscores Russell Wilson this week. Tyrod Taylor is against the Jets, and Russell Wilson is against the Cowboys.
But Russell Wilson has, like, no receivers or offense right now.
Right? So you're saying you'd rather play Tyrod Taylor in fantasy?
I mean, I'm probably picking up almost anyone off the waiver. No, you know what? You're saying fantasy-wise...
Right, fantasy, yeah.
Does he have a better game than Russell Wilson? You know what? I'll take it. Let's do it.
All right. Fire bet. Fire bet.
That seems like a... I can't back out of that one.
Alrighty. I weed the web for that one.
Yep.
Josh Gordon is no longer with the team, leaving Jarvis Landry as numero
uno. Jarvis Landry, solid. And Antonio Callaway, also pretty good. Rashard Higgins, someone to watch for. I think all of those are pretty solid. I know there was a lot of hype for their tight end, David Njoku.
Ooh. I like David Njoku.
I'm not a fan. I don't think he's showed anything yet. He's a name.
He's not done anything.
You want some kind of sleeper tight end or like a backup tight end in case your guy gets injured? He's probably a good pickup. And also Duke Johnson's been thrown out there a lot as like a big time, like, hey, you can get this guy off of waivers or whatever, but I'm not a fan of the Browns running backs. They share the load a lot. Like, even Nick Chubb has been getting a lot of carries. So, I mean, I'm looking at their stats right now. Carlos Hyde's gotten like 38 attempts. And then Tyrod Taylor is second with 12. And then it's 5-8. And then a wide receiver's in there. So,
They gave Tyrod Taylor 8 attempts?
No, but Tyrod Taylor has 12 attempts.
The 12 attempts?
Yeah, Duke Johnson has 8.
Do you call it an attempt at that
attempts
point?
To run, yeah.
I still like Carlos Hyde a lot. Like,
well, that's what they call it on here, to be fair.
Yeah, he seems to have stolen the backfield thus far, Carlos Hyde.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I'm rocking with him the whole way through until anything changes. But he seems like the best running back on the team at this point.
Oh yeah, if you're starting one of them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm starting Carlos Hyde. Yeah.
Well.
I mean, he's averaging 11.8 points a game for you.
Oh yeah, that's because he's gotten all these touchdowns, but.
Yeah, but I mean, they're using him there. Like that's their goal line.
Yeah. All right. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I would say he has about the... Yeah, he's probably close with the Kenyon Drakes of the world, I suppose.
So...
speaking of, let's go AFC... Oh, you want to...
Before we hop out there, let's talk about the AFC North. Who do you have winning this division?
Oh, okay. Man, just these first few weeks have been very interesting for this division, especially with the Browns tying the Steelers. Right. I have Steelers starting off with a rough stretch at the beginning. I think they eventually clean it up towards the end of the year, especially when they get Le'Veon back and they start, you know, having less drama. But I think it's going to be really close with the Bengals and the Steelers. I don't see the Ravens, like, maintaining a playoff push. I think this is, like, the winner of this division goes, like, 9-7, maybe 9-6-1. I think I still have the Steelers winning this division.
Yeah. I'm gonna shock you here. I've got the Steelers losing, like, last in the division.
Last?
Last.
Wow. I would do a fire bet on that.
I'm not going to do a fire bet that they're last, but I will do a fire bet that they do not make the playoffs.
No, I won't do that. I think it's very plausible that they don't. I think if whoever doesn't win this division, not going to make the playoffs.
The crazy thing is I have two teams from this division going to the playoffs. That's the Bengals and the Ravens. I have the Bengals winning the whole division.
Here's so would you do a fire bet that the Steelers would get third or worse in the division?
Yes.
All right, I'll do that.
All right. Fire bet.
Bow, bow.
So here's the thing about the Steelers. Once Le'Veon Bell gets back, so let's assume that he holds out all the way until week 8. Or even if he comes back at week 6, then they have a bye week. So here's what you're looking at after he serves those 2-game suspensions. You've got the, assuming he comes back a little bit early, he's got the Panthers, which, yeah, maybe they'll beat them. But then he gets the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Chargers, the Patriots, and the Bengals playing like they are right now. They've got some really tough games at the end of the season.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather have Le'Veon Bell over James Conner in those games? Don't you feel like that increases their win chance in those games?
Why I feel so confident that they'll get third or less is because if they had James Conner during those games and then Le'Veon Bell during the other games, I think they would win those Le'Veon Bell other games at least. But I'm not sure they're going to beat... You know, I don't think they're going to beat the Jaguars. I don't think they're going to beat the Broncos.
Okay.
Man,
all right.
It's so tough, so tough.
I see. You like the, like, take the auto losses just so you can get the auto wins kind of approach. I got you.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Well, in this particular situation.
Right, yeah. Okay, all right.
Okay,
we'll see.
So let's talk about the AFC East.
East? East. I'm not making that joke again.
So this might be the most competitive division in football.
Oh, let's not get too hasty. They still have the Bills in this division.
So let's talk about the Bills. Complete dumpster fire?
Yes. Yeah, I would say
I don't think
I don't
like
even know who the
player.
Best player on their team is. Is it that backup running back that
Marcus Matthews or
Marcus Murphy?
So a flashback to a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about a player in our league who drafted Marcus Murphy in the second round, despite everybody's attempt to just persuade him not to. The Marcus Murphy. I'm in a another league that has 20 members in it, and we play three wide receivers and three running backs. Marcus Murphy is available in that league, but he was taken in the second round of ours.
Yeah.
Okay. Who do we want to talk about first? How about, oh yeah, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills. I already forgot about them.
Well, I think we're done.
Yeah, I mean,
they have LeSean McCoy. They do have him, but I mean,
I can't even, you know, I was in trade negotiations for LeSean McCoy. I don't have anybody on my team that I would be willing to trade. Like, all of my players are better to me right now than LeSean McCoy.
Yep. I see zero players that I would play from the Bills, except for LeSean McCoy, and he would have to, he would be traded for such, like, I maybe would trade Alex Collins for LeSean McCoy, maybe? That'd be close. That'd be close. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I trust the Bills enough to even play LeSean McCoy.
And, you know, it's not LeSean McCoy's fault. It's the offensive line. And that's what's also ruining the quarterback for you. That's what's ruining the wide receivers for you. And that's what's ruining the defense for you. It ruins the whole team because they cannot move the ball down the field. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins, who are currently winning the division.
Yes.
2-0.
They're like the Tampa Bay Bucks of this division, huh?
Yeah, every Florida team is 2-0 right now. Undefeated
wow.
Florida.
Except for the college teams. They suck. All right, anyway. Yeah,
so
I'm a fan of the Dolphins. They have some stuff happening.
I've changed my mind on them. Like, I was very against them at the beginning of in the offseason. I actually had them being the worst team in the division. But now I have them being second best. They've impressed me.
Yeah, some of their players really stepped up. You know, they lost Jay Cutler, which is a huge hit. and they got Ryan Tannehill for it. No, I'm just kidding. No, Kenyon Drake has been, you know, pretty solid since Jay Ajayi left him. And Kenny Stills really stepped up since Jarvis Landry left. So
Kenny Stills, yes.
Lots of props. You know, the ex-Saints player, always mm-hmm. a guy I can root for.
Well, I mean, so he did very good against the Titans. And then didn't really show up during last week against the Jets.
Yeah, he's another one of those boom bust type receivers. Mm. But I feel like you almost
he's kind of
you can play
way,
him. Like, yeah, you can play him because he gives you more golden tickets than rotten chocolate or whatever. Whatever analogy you want to use that's related to Willy Wonka, I'm not sure.
So, yeah, Kenyon Drake, Kenny Stills, those are your players going forward here. You know who's not showed up yet is, oh gosh, I can't think of his name right now.
Frank Gore?
Devontae Parker.
No. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Devontae Parker has been, is he injured or is he like out or what's going on?
He injured his hand in the preseason, a little finger injury, but he should be showing up this week, I think, against Oakland.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to affect anybody's numbers so much. It might help them, if anything, so.
If you drafted Devontae Parker, who was thought to be the wide receiver one on the team, what are you doing with him now?
I'm assuming it depends on your roster.
You drop
but
him?
You're probably playing. Oh no, you don't drop him.
Yeah, you didn't hold him. See what happens.
Yeah, you probably don't play him this week. I never play, or I usually never play injured players when they're just coming back, especially if I have like a potential player who can play. So, like, desperation mode, maybe I do, but I hold him, see what happens. If he's, like, garbage, then I'll drop him and pick up someone. But, yeah, I like those guys, Kenyon Drake, Kenny Stills. I don't think Ryan Tannehill's worth playing right now, but...
is he ever? Like, he's not really
also,
a
like,
asset.
Frank Gore, he's donezo. I don't know why people keep drafting him, but whatever. What are you going to do?
You know, he just moved up in the most rushing guards ever race.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the most.
Good for
let's
him.
See. What is he? He had a 5-yard rush last week, and now he has the fourth most rushing yards of all time. Go Frank Gore. All right, let's move on to the New York Jets.
Jets.
You know, the Jets are looking a little bit more impressive.
Before you guys go on, so I literally did drop Devontae Parker a while ago, and I just went and picked him back up. He was free agent.
I was noticing that he was a free agent. Yeah, I was noticing that as I was looking through it. I still don't know if I'd want him though. But
yeah,
hey, it depends what your depth looks like at wide receiver.
All right, so let's go to the Jets. Sam Darnold, you're definitely not playing Sam Darnold. He's definitely fun to watch, I guess, but not fantasy worthy. As far as the running backs, please tell me you want to play him.
Well, let's see. So he's he had that superstar game at the beginning of the season. He still only racked up like 14 points or so. I don't know. I'm not ready to like write him off completely because he actually looked pretty good in those games. Like we'll see. We'll see where his little career path takes him.
You have to remember what you're comparing him against. I mean, there's 32 starting quarterbacks, and 20 of them
you're not playing him yet.
Decent.
You're not playing him yet, but we'll see what happens in his future. I see good things for him.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah,
he has potential.
You know, he's actually got a really nice set of wide receivers here.
Yeah,
we got Robbie Anderson. We got Quincy Enunwa, which I know they're not like fancy names, but they've both been performing really well thus far this season. Nobody's picking these guys up yet.
Terrell Pryor.
Terrell Pryor out there. I mean, hey, it's not terrible. There are definitely teams with worse sets of wide receivers.
Yeah, no, that's fair, I guess. But I'm mostly interested in the running backs on this team. I think Isaiah Crowell has been very impressive, especially in the first game. The second game, pretty mediocre.
They were playing from
I don't know if he's someone you can depend on yet, as far as like just start him and forget him kind of potential. But
well, I expect him to do very well this week against the Browns. He's old. It's a revenge game against the Browns.
Yeah, I just have too many players. Like I have him on the team right now, and I just have too many players.
Poor guy.
I can't
Poor
get him
guy.
In. Like, I have Kenyon Drake on the bench right now. What am I going to do?
Yeah, I get that though. All right, let's move on to the New England Patriots.
Right, the Patriots. You saved the best for last.
Yeah, there's a couple players on this team that are fantasy worthy.
Yes, there are a few.
Tom
Brady and Rob Gronkowski, number ones.
Yes.
Tom Brady's definitely been balling. Except for against the Jags, but I mean, everyone's going to struggle
game
against
so
the
far.
Jags.
I mean, even in his struggle, like the really bad game that he had against the Jags,
he
still
had
gets you
decent
16
numbers.
Fantasy points.
Yeah, that's pretty solid versus the Jags too, probably. So,
and we kind of discussed this when we went over the Packers that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. What's so great about them is that they don't really have true running backs on their team. They have running backs that they toss the ball to.
Mm-hmm.
So those numbers are always going to get jacked up for them because every time the running back runs, they get points also, whereas you don't get that with other quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true. That's super nice. But mentioning running backs, I would definitely say that they don't have any running backs that I would play personally. I know people are a big fan of Rex Burkhead, but I'm not a fan at all.
White?
I do, but he's on my bench. He's just sitting there.
He's just trying to keep him from
He's really waiting for the playoffs. When he'll really go off. But unfortunately, the fantasy playoffs are in the regular season. So,
what about Sonny Michel?
We'll see what happens. He's kind of injury bug going on. So maybe
well,
when he gets fully involved in the lineup, we'll
he
see.
He saw the field kind of creeped in last week for 10 attempts.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see. If you've got him on your team, you know, keep him on your bench for now because –
Oh, yeah. I think he has the most potential of the running backs on here.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're keeping Rex Burkhead just because he's been getting all the carries. But, yeah, I'm just not a fan.
Mm-hmm. How about Rob Gronkowski, you said you're not really a fan of tight ends, right?
Well, this one I am. This one is definitely number one above and beyond any other tight end in the league.
Yeah.
For sure.
Any
a
and
significant stretch between number one and number two.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you don't need any advice on Gronkowski. You're playing him every game.
Doesn't oh, yeah, yeah. Against. You're 100%. It doesn't matter who he's going up against. If he's even questionable and he's going to play, you still got to play him. Like.
Yeah. Okay, so we know that Chris Hogan is their wide receiver one right now, but you came into the season knowing that he might not keep that role because you have Julian Edelman coming back in week five. Now that we have news that Josh Gordon is arriving in New England, what do we do with Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman? Do you try to sell him right now?
I mean, yeah, I would, but I don't think he's going to lose that much production with Josh Gordon there. So, I mean, if you think
it's not
if you want to play
Gordon,
him.
Though.
Yeah, I know you're getting Julian Edelman also, but Chris Hogan, he played with Julian Edelman last year, right? And Brandon Cooks.
No, Julian Edelman was out last year.
Oh, he got injured at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, preseason.
Well, you still had Brandon Cooks, so it's kind of a similar situation where, like, you had some pretty decent wide receivers, and Chris Hogan was hanging with them. The crazy thing so far to me is that Chris Hogan really needs some extra receivers because he can't carry the load. He's more of like the guy that, because he's in one-on-one, he gets a lot of touches, but when he's the main focus, then obviously he's not going to ever be open. So he's been pretty lackluster, I'd say, right now. I mean, I know he has two touchdowns. I guess he got those. But, I mean, he has, what, four receptions for 53 yards and two touchdowns? I don't know. I mean, I've never been a big fan of relying on people who just got a bunch of touchdowns and no yards or targets or receptions. But
I think now is the time to sell high on him because he's, that 16.2 points he got in the Jaguars game. You sell it as that, like, hey, this guy against the Jaguars got this many points because I think he's going to see some major regression.
But I think he gets better when more receivers come into the lineup. So, I mean, if you're already deep at that position, then yeah, he's a good sell. But I would be looking for him to get a little bit more productive than even he was in the Jacksonville game.
Cool.
Especially with Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman coming. Because he's not really a deep threat guy anyway, right? So he's more of a possession guy.
He kind of walks the line on both. But.
Yeah.
All right. So who do you have for winning this division?
Well, unfortunately, I still have the Patriots winning. But it's close. It's close for a while, actually.
Really?
I have the Dolphins hanging out up there for a while, and the Jets kind of hanging around for a bit. But, yeah, the Patriots just are too good. I think I have them finishing at, like, 12-4, 11-5 to win the division. And the Dolphins are like
sacrilegious.
Oh, you have them at 15-1?
No, I wish. No, I've got them at 13-3.
Okay.
I've got a loss to the Bears and a loss to the Vikings. And that's really just the struggles against the very good defenses, which we've already seen once this year.
The Bears, huh?
Yeah, no, the Bears defense is very impressive so far. Okay. And there's they'll have to go to Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell back. We assume Le'Veon Bell's back at that point in week 15. But I think the Patriots are a better team this year. I have the Dolphins finishing second at 7-9. Jets go 4-12, and the Bills cannot squeak out a win this year.
I think I might have given the Bills a win somewhere, and then I had the Jets something at like 5 or 6 wins, and then I think I have the Dolphins at like 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah.
I think at the Dolphins pretty, like, I think they get to, like, 7-2 even or something along those lines, and then they, like, crash and burn at the end of the season.
I will give you a fire bet that the Patriots get a first round bye.
All right, I'll give you one. I'll give you
one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do
fire
it.
Fire bet.
I don't know why. I want to I think
all
I,
right.
While we're sort of talking about that, my first round buys, I think I have Jacksonville and oh, you know what? I think I had the Patriots too.
Right. What are you doing to yourself?
Well, I was like, oh, I have Jacksonville and Kansas City, but I'm pretty sure I remember having Kansas City as a third seed.
You know, I was about to comment on Kansas City, but we'll get into that on the next podcast. We're going to wrap this one up for now. That was an AFC fantasy outlook of the AFC North and East. We will be back in a couple days for a AFC fantasy preview of the South and West. Or was it West? I can't read my handwriting here.
Yeah. Until no, Southwest.
Yeah,
we're
Southwest.
Doing a review of the airline.
Yeah. And the movie South by Southwest.
Ah, right.
Until next time.
I'm Jay Hump.
And this is Rob. Shout out to the captain. We'll see you next time.